This edition of Farming the Countryside is brought to you by ProFarmer. ProFarmer provides key information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to tryprofarmer.com for your free trial today. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McRae. USDA's prospective plantings report showed a decline in the number of acres intended to be in corn production this year. But perhaps the biggest surprise is that there appears to be 6.5 million acres of crop ground that is unaccounted for. Chip Flory and I discussed the year ahead, including tighter margins, marketing strategies, and more. Those are our topics for this week's Farming the Countryside, brought to you by ProFarmer. Start making confident marketing decisions with ProFarmer. ProFarmer's condensed style is designed to save you time while giving you the important information you need when making those important marketing decisions. And you'll stay on top of profit opportunities with ProFarmer's mobile sell alerts and easy-to-use mobile app. With spring planting just around the corner and a new crop ready to go on the ground, now is the perfect time to try a free trial. Get insights on marketing grain you may still have in the bin and get ready for the season ahead. Plus, gain insights on the volatile livestock markets. Start your ProFarmer free trial today. Visit tryprofarmer.com. That's tryprofarmer.com. There was a lot of interest in this year's prospective plantings report, as many analysts predicted a loss of acres planted to corn, with margins seemingly tighter for most producers for corn when compared to beans. The corn acres did go down. But as usual, there were many other questions that popped up after the report. AgriTalk host Chip Flory and I discussed that report and talked about the year ahead and marketing opportunities in a year when some producers are already looking at red ink on that crop that's going in the ground. Chip Flory joins me, and Chip and I visit regularly on this show talking about all things markets. And Chip, maybe that's where we should begin. Not very long ago, we had a prospective plantings report that came out, and a lot of us were looking at that thinking that we might switch a lot of acres from corn to beans because the margins are probably a little bit tighter on corn right now.
It was a whole lot more switching than what I expected. I thought because of the rotational issues, Andrew, because of the amount of anhydrous that went down in the fall of 2023. And yeah, I hear what you're saying about the financial incentive on soybeans, but for a lot of guys in the I states, if their land costs are under control, corn was still generating more revenue, more net revenue than soybeans were. And it's because of all of that, I kind of figured a $92 million would be the base. And it might even work up from there. And lo and behold, the survey shows us 90, down about 2.9 million below. About 1.75 million acres below the average pre-report trade guess. So that's quite the miss on corn acres, and of course the bean acres came in above a year ago, basically in line with trade expectations, except even there, according to what the trade was looking for, Andrew, bean plantings could have been another million acres heavier than what they were. So when everything is said and done, I think we're kind of left scratching our heads, wondering where did a couple of million acres of corn and soybeans go? And when you look at the principal crop area for 2024 compared to 2023, we're missing almost 6.5 million acres compared to a year ago. So this is the first word on planting intentions. Odds are These planted acreage tallies for corn and for soybeans are going to change. And it's not very often that you can hear me say this, but the prospective plantings report might have been the low water mark for both in 2024.
Well, you mentioned something there that I was going to go to, and I've heard several people mention this. What happened to these missing acres? And I don't know, with these reports, is it that there are acres in flux? And so some producers are saying, I don't know which way I'm going to go, so they aren't reported. How do you come up with 6.5 million missing acres, so to speak?
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure. It is something that we are trying to figure out. You know, social media got on top of it right away and basically said, well, maybe we're not down that much from a year ago, because what if we didn't plant all the 319 million that USDA says we planted a year ago? Well, if that's the case, and you compare that with the grain stocks information, then the national average yields on corn and soybeans, if you want to take acres away from last year's corn and soybean plantings, you got to add to the national average yield, because the crop size is set. And the grain stocks numbers are supporting record corn crop. They're supporting a big bean crop. So I don't think that's the answer. Then there are others out on social media that are saying, listen, you know, look at all the wind farms, look at all the solar farms. One guy in particular said, you know, there's 50,000 acres in my state alone. 50,000 acres is at 1% of 6.5 million. So, I mean, it's the 6.5 million miss or drop from a year ago on the principal crop acres. Andrew, I wish I had a better answer for you on that. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I just think that we're probably going to see some of those acres rediscovered, I guess might be the way to say it, and they will be in production in 2024.
Early on, you mentioned something about in the I states for producers that had their costs under control.
Yeah.
I'd like to drill down into that a bit and ask, what do you mean? Does that mean they aren't renting a lot of ground? Does that mean they've done some other steps? What does it mean in Chip's Flory Dictionary to say they have their costs under control? Because I think all of us would like to do that.
Yeah, that land cost. The land cost is the big variable when we talk about that. And it is a high percentage. If a producer owns a high percentage of the ground that they're farming and owns it outright, that's a low-cost producer. If you've got that your land costs under control, if you're out there playing in the high-rent environment, then it's really been difficult to find an opportunity to pencil in a profit on corn or soybeans this winter, and it might leave you scratching your head wondering what you're going to do. You know, Andrew, that brings up another point, and it goes back to what we were talking about on the drop in principal crop acres. When the economic returns in row crop production stink, we will lose acres. Some of those acres, I don't know if it's an increase in fallow acres, if it is an increase in, you know, moving some acres back to grassland. There's a lot of combinations of what it could be, but we may be taking enough economic incentive out of the equation that all of the acres that were planted to row crops or principal crops in 2023 just aren't going to be planted in 2024. So we can't rule that out. Do I think that would account for all 6.5 million? No way. But it could have, I mean, it could move the needle by a million, maybe even a million and a half.
So talking about cost control, if you will, and land rent certainly has a big impact on that. And I would say, and I think you'd agree with me, that even if you own your land, you need to figure in what it would be if you had to rent that. That's an opportunity cost in my book. Yep. But let's talk about those that are renting a lot of land. And yeah, the pencil may be in red instead of black. So what are you hearing out there? If I'm renting land, how are people trying to reduce costs or get the pencil from red back to black?
Yeah, the opportunity for cost saving on the 24 crop plantings, the window hasn't completely closed, but it's awfully close, isn't it? The fertilizer decisions have basically been made. The seed decisions have been made. There could be some cuts in crop protection, fungicide applications and so on this 24 crop. But I think there's been enough evidence gathered by most producers, Andrew, that they know if they cut back on some of those crop protection efforts, it's going to be reflected in lower yields. So you really got to push the pencil on, are you willing to give up bushels in order to save on costs on a corn crop in 2024? It would be my guess that if you've locked in on the acres, you're not going to do anything to cost yourself a bushel. You're going to do everything you can to grow every bushel that you possibly can. And I've been in marketing for 35 years, Andrew, and I can't fault a guy for chasing each and every bushel that they can. You can't sell a bushel that you don't produce. That's the bottom line. So the easiest way to increase revenue per acre is to increase production per acre. And that is something that is part of the reason that we have a trend line yield, and that trend line yield continues to pull corn and bean yields to the upside.
I'd be interested in your thoughts as you look ahead, because I think you're right that a lot of the crop inputs have been purchased. There's not much room to cut back now, so to speak, on the crop that will go in the ground this year. But if this trend continues, and it looks like it may with crop prices, then how much does that change things going forward? Because now we do have time to plan for a 2025 crop.
Right, right. Lots of time to plan and plan for some drastic changes in how you're doing things for that 2025 crop. And the market is going to change for 2025. I just don't think that there's any question about it. The domestic crush capacity for U.S. soybeans is going to be rising at a pace that we're going to string together months of record-setting crush of U.S. soybeans in, the year ahead, maybe the next two years ahead. That's going to change that basis market in some ways that we need to work that into your plans on soybeans. And every time we talk about increasing bean acres, I kind of get a puzzled look back in my direction with I'm not going to plant beans on beans. There will be an increase in bean on bean acres in the U.S. over the next couple of years. I just don't think there's any question about it. And that's going to tighten up the supply of acres for corn, and we could get what will be a more active battle for acres as we go forward, where corn might actually have to engage in an effort to make sure that it's got enough acres so that carryover doesn't slip back under 1.5 billion bushels, something like that. So it's there's a lot of changes that are coming our way over the next couple of years. And of course, I said all of that, assuming that we're going to have normal growing conditions, Andrew. If we have a drought in the middle of the country in 2024, takes a big bite out of the Midwest corn and soybean yields, well, that's the quickest way to solve a supply side issue. I would rather solve it, take our time solving it, and solve it with an increase in demand that uses up corn and soybean crops grown in quote-unquote normal conditions. But if we have a problem in 2024, man, there's all bets off for 2025. We'll see both corn and soybean end users get quite a bit more aggressive in their efforts to attract acres in 2025 if something like that would happen.
Let's talk about marketing right now, whether it's grain in the bin or thinking about the crop that we're putting in the ground right now. I think the last time you and I visited, you had mentioned that we might see corn with a $3 figure, at least 3 point something. And mm-hmm. depending on where folks live, they may be experiencing that right now. So in light of that, how do I think about marketing corn or beans, whether I have it in the bin or the crop going in right now, going forward? I often hear you talk about that often in the spring, there is some event that tends to make the markets come up a little bit. We can't get in the field or we're worried about something. Is that what I'm looking for? How do I look about marketing right now in the next few months?
You know, the way that the market reacted, corn market in particular, reacted to the prospective plantings report and that 90 million planted acres estimate, I think that there's still the potential for the realization of just 90 million acres to give producers an opportunity in December 24 futures closer to $5. I'm not going to wait. I wouldn't wait until $5 to make additional sales. And the other thing is, and this is a conversation that I've had with several analysts on AgriTalk. In years past, you know, it took $1.30 to $1.50 for us to kind of sit back and say, wow, look at that rally in beans. In corn, somewhere between 70 and 90 cents, you'd realize, hey, that was a pretty good rally that we've had in corn. I don't think anybody's holding out for those numbers, Andrew. A 35, 40 cent rally off of the lows in corn, analysts and farmers both are looking to get some increases in old crop sales on the books and probably looking to increase their coverage on 2024 crop. On soybeans, the rally that we've had, it has already increased some sales, but in that November contract, there are some charts, targets. There's a gap up there between, I think it's between 1305 and 1306 in the November contract. Growers would love the opportunity to fill that gap in November beans and then go ahead and increase their sales at that point. I wouldn't wait for $13 to make additional sales, but just realize that is in the realm of possibility. Now, how do we get there? It could be any number of issues with the planting season. It could be that acreage estimate that we got. It could very simply just be professional trading funds deciding that they don't want to be on the short side of the corn and soybean markets any longer, and it is time to get out. If they get out, That's one thing. That gives us a bump in prices to go ahead and sell. That's been part of the rally that we've seen to this point. If for some reason they decide that the momentum is strong enough, let's say they're looking at the outside markets and they've got crude oil futures up at $85 a barrel, and they decide crude oil at $85 a barrel ought to be good for $5 December corn, ought to be good for 12 and a quarter November beans. If that decision is made, then that might be enough to get them onto the long side of corn and soybeans. So I don't think it even takes a fundamental change, Andrew. I think it takes a change in the attitude of the funds that are in the market already.
Chip, in the time we have remaining, let's jump over to the livestock market on the cattle side. Wow. We have a market in which those cattle are worth a lot more dollars per head than they were a year and even 2 years ago. The market has its fluctuations, but the trend line is still upward. Is that what you see going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. The fundamentals of the cattle market are still positive. Even at the prices that we're at, I'd call it positive and not just neutral. There is upside potential based on a tight supply of cattle. There's upside potential based on the amount of beef that we are moving through the system. The risk of a black swan again, though, was made very clear to us just this last week. We're dealing with an event with the highly pathogenic avian influenza making the jump from birds to bovines. So far, it's believed that the jump has been made to dairies only. But with word that an employee on one of these dairy farms now has been diagnosed with a human case of bird flu, and boy, that just the whole question of how consumers are going to react and how their perceptions of food safety might change because of this, Andrew, that throws a big wrench in the works for this cattle market going forward. I don't think at this point, I don't think it's a threat to it. I need to be very careful. I believe that the risk of human infection is still very, very low, very low. But the risk of an overreaction by consumers might be very, very high. And if we see an overreaction where they back away from beef in the meat case, holy smokes, dude, we could manufacture some changes in this cattle market in a very short period of time, and it would not be a positive for anybody involved.
Yeah, that's true. It's something to certainly keep an eye on, that's for sure.
Yep.
Chip, I always appreciate the time. Thanks for the outlook, and I'm sure folks can check in with you on AgriTalk to always learn more.
You bet. You bet. Thank you, Andrew. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for joining me on this week's show. Remember, you can follow Farming the Countryside and our daily show, American Countryside, on Facebook, Twitter, or X, Instagram, and YouTube. Just type in Farming the Countryside or American Countryside. And remember, you can hear these shows in a variety of ways at farmingthecountryside.com, on many local radio stations, or on your favorite podcast platform. If you miss one of our shows, just use those platforms to go back and catch other topics of interest as well. The weather this week on our farm has been cold. The corn seed is in the shed, but it looks like it will still be a few days or perhaps even a few weeks before some of that seed gets planted. I appreciate you joining me. I'm Andrew McCray. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. This edition of Farming the Countryside has been brought to you by ProFarmer. ProFarmer provides key information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to tryprofarmer.com for your free trial today.